If you would please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. Now let's look at verse 22 to start with. Luke chapter 9 in verse 22. It's going back. This is right after Peter's confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus said immediately after this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. Now, parallel passages, we have Peter rebuking Jesus and then our Lord, of course, taking Peter to task that you favor not the things of God. The messianic expectation of Israel at the time, the messianic expectation of the disciples, is such that the whole idea of the suffering Savior, which is there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 52 and 3, Psalm 22, a number of other places as well, is not part of their equation. At least they have a hard time reconciling it with the majesty and the glory and the power and so forth. Excuse me. And so we have, immediately after this, we have the Transfiguration. Now we have Peter, James, and John, going up with Jesus for this prayer meeting. They see Jesus transfigured. They see Elijah and Moses. They hear them talking about Jesus' death that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. The word there is Exodus in the original. And so they have this picture of glory, but they also hear them discussing the death. And then we have the voice of the Father coming from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And it's very easy when you have something dramatic going on around you. Remember, the disciples have been seeing incessantly miracles. People are healed by the hundreds and thousands. Miraculous things happening. They've seen the stilling of the storm, the turning of water to wine, even the raising of the dead. They've seen all these things, and these things are frequent. And our Lord had empowered them, and they went out and they did the same thing. And so it's easy to be caught up by all the wonders and powers that they are seeing and experiencing and miss the message. What's the point of all this? Well, they are the credentials for the Messiah. Thou art the Christ. Okay, they got that right. But Jesus had told them, I'm going to suffer. The discussion on the Mount of Transfiguration was dealing with the suffering. Even though they're seeing all the glory, the topic of discussion is the suffering. They come down from the mount, and we have the most abbreviated account of it. It's also in Matthew and Mark. Mark has quite a bit more information there. But we have this huge crowd. There are scribes and Pharisees among them. Jesus casts the demon out of this little boy and restores him back to his dead, better than new. And then look in verse 43. This is one of those places where the break in the theme is in the middle of the verse. Verse 43, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. The disciples were, the crowd was. They're all in awe of Jesus. Many of them have probably been following him. They have seen him do these kinds of things before. Some of this for the first time, because they're quite a ways north here. And they're just in awe of the things they're seeing. And then it says, and while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples. He doesn't say this to the crowd, he just says this to the disciples. He says, let these things sink down into your ears. Now, that's an idiom, figure of speech. What Jesus is saying, and I put three different ways here, he says, pay attention! Listen to me! Get this! Pay attention to what I'm saying. You're thrilled, you're amazed, you're astounded by all the stuff you see. But listen to what I'm saying. What did the Father say? Listen to him. Don't be drawing conclusions strictly by what you're seeing. Yes, he's the Messiah. You've got the right person. But you're missing the point of the mission. Let this sink into your... And remember this. Because remember, as you read the gospel accounts, here you've got the disciples that have been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Many of them had probably known him since before then. They had observed the blameless life at least prior to his actual ministry. They had been with him for 3.5 years as his disciples. They have seen, they have heard, there has been a lot of private conversation, especially the last year. There's going to be a lot of private conversation. They have been taught, they have heard, and it's gone in one ear and out the other. The Son of Man must suffer, will be betrayed, will die, and rise again the third day. And they're not paying attention. When it actually comes to pass, they're disillusioned, they're heartbroken, and they will not believe the witnesses that saw Jesus first after the resurrection. They refuse to believe until they see, even though they've been told. Listen to him. Listen to him. Get this. Pay attention. Let this sink down into your ears. He says, again, this is the second time. And before it was just a few days before, a week before. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. God's Messiah, a Son of God, the miracle worker, the one who walks on water, the one who raises the dead, the one who performs countless miracles, will be betrayed, arrested, tried, killed, and rise again the third day. He tells them this. And when you know, so much of what Jesus taught publicly was in parables. In part so that the crowd, lacking spiritual perception, wouldn't get it. They were told, but they didn't get it. And then it says in the gospel accounts that Jesus later on would explain everything to his disciples. It didn't seem to help a lot. But he explained everything to his disciples. And here, and by the way, he'll do this again at the Last Supper. And they'll say, hey, now you're talking plainly to us. There's no question about what you're trying to communicate. He's doing the same thing here. He's telling them in plain language exactly what's going to happen. And then, now, understand, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the rest of the story. They're stuck here in chapter 9. But they don't get it. They don't get it. Verse 46 is amazing. I'm sorry, verse 45. But they understood not the saying. I'm going to be betrayed. I don't get this. What's that mean? But he said, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They understood not the saying. It was hid from them. All right. There's a fair bit of discussion. How and why was it hid from them? Some of them said, well, the devil's not allowing them to get it. I think that's passing the buck. I think they didn't get it because they didn't get it. That all that they had seen, like we started, they've seen all the miracles that everybody else has seen and then some, because they've seen them all. They've seen people healed. They've seen the storm stilled. They've seen him walking on water. They've seen the water to wine. They have seen people rise from the dead. They have seen, they've heard a voice from heaven. They've seen, the three of them have seen him transfigured. They've seen all these things. The expectation is glory. The expectation is the kingdom. We've got the right guy. We heard the voice from heaven. There is absolutely no doubt in their minds that this is the guy. This is God's Messiah. Peter had confessed that earlier, just a little bit, a few verses before. Speaking for them all. And they can't seem to see past their presuppositions. We do the same thing. There are so many areas where we have already made up our minds about things, some biblically and sometimes otherwise. Our minds, and we can't see past that because we have this locked in place that this is a hard and fast fact, and therefore we look at everything through the glasses of that expectation, that thing that we deem to be true. Jesus is Messiah. He is the King. He will come in glory. One of these days, sometime it's not too distant, he's going to come into Jerusalem, he will declare himself king, and he will rule, and we will rule with him. Because even at the Last Supper, they're still arguing over who's going to be the greatest. That's their expectation. And they can't seem to look past that. And it doesn't matter what Jesus says to them. It doesn't matter what Moses and Elijah were talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration. It doesn't matter what the voice from heaven said. They're locked into this expectation. They can't see past it. They perceived it not. They didn't get it. But it's in plain language. It's straightforward. The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. What does this mean? I don't understand. Well, let me repeat it again for you. The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. I still don't understand this. Now again, remember, they're locked into chapter 9. They are looking at not Isaiah 52 and 53, but lots more of Isaiah that talks about the kingdom and the glory. And the tribute of nations coming in to Jerusalem and paying homage to the king. They're looking at all that, and they're looking at themselves standing next to the king as his attendants, as his officers, as his chief ministers. And they can't see that the suffering is necessary so that the kingdom can come. Because the sin problem needs to be dealt with. That's why there's repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it says they feared to ask him of that saying. As a teacher, as a youth pastor, my wife and I were working with teenagers. She taught junior high for 5 years. And does anybody have any questions? I'm telling you, you will have somebody raise their hand and ask you the question that you have just answered. Happens all the time. I was down doing some maintenance in her classroom when she was a teacher. I happened to be in the room. And one of the girls raised her hand. And Aaron said, "Put your hand down. You can't possibly be asking a question I haven't already answered." She knew her well. She knew that student well. And there was this sigh, and she put her hand down because she knew she was right. They were afraid to ask. They were afraid they'd make themselves look foolish. Haven't I already told you? Haven't I already told you? And I think that they were expecting perhaps that rebuke because they'd just been told. It had been put in plain language. They'd just been told. Weren't you there? Didn't we just talk about this? Haven't you just heard this? Now, those all might be components of this, but I think the last line in your outline is what the real issue is. They're afraid of the right answer. They're afraid of the right answer. They can't be ignorant of Psalm 22. They can't be ignorant of Isaiah 52 and 53. They know it's there. Jesus has told them now for the second time that he is going to be betrayed and suffer. And he's given it to them in plain language. And again, the three heard it on the mountain. I think they're afraid of the answer. I put the reference there for Matthew 17, 23, because it says in the original, when they heard this, they were greatly distressed. They were greatly distressed. It was like, I don't want to hear this. This is not good news. I mean, we're expecting this and this and this, and we have delusions of grandeur. Well, they're not actually delusions. They will come to pass eventually. But the idea of suffering is not part of how we're thinking. And we don't want that to be the right answer. We want to make sure that we are misunderstanding something because we want our expectations to be fulfilled. Because the idea of Jesus actually going through with what he has said he's going to go through is not what we want. And therefore, we are going to ignore what he says or deliberately misunderstand what he said because we don't want it to be true. We don't want it to be true. Years ago, I was preaching at a conference up north. And because it was a conference, I was preaching on a particular issue. And there was somebody there, they got all excited about the message. And they were just beaming during the message. And afterward, they were talking about the message. They were just so excited. Leo was there. And told me about this. And Leo was kind of chuckling into himself because they held the exact opposite position that I did. And they didn't get the message because they thought that I was endorsing their position, even though I was saying the exact opposite. Their expectation was that I was going to be endorsing their position, and therefore that's the spin they put on what I said. Everybody else in the room knew what I was talking about. But these folks here, they had this expectation, therefore they assumed that I was endorsing their position. And I think the disciples are doing the same thing. They don't want what's being said to be true, and therefore it can't mean what he's saying. And they're so set in this with their presupposition and looking at this through the glasses of their presupposition that they're not going to get it even after the death, burial, and even after the resurrection until they see him with their own eyes. So what do we take away from this? We've got to take God's word for what it says. We can't put spin on it. We can't make up our mind prior to our examination of the word. It says what it says. And we need to bring our thinking into accord with what the scripture has to say. Because so often we've made up our mind about so many things and we ignore what the Bible has to say because our minds are already made up. And we can read it and we go nod our heads. But we're not paying attention. And sometimes we're afraid to ask because we don't want our viewpoint, we don't want our balloon popped. We don't want our viewpoint undermined by what the scripture plainly says. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you. Lord, in Last week we looked in the morning service about examples, good and bad. And Father, the disciples, for all the great and wonderful things that you will be doing with them after the resurrection, here they just seem to be so fixated on things that are not right. And Father, I think we can take some solace in this, that even the disciples were often like we are. Father, the major characters that we see in the scripture, the people that we have information on, are ordinary people, and they struggle with the same things we struggle with. Father, may we recognize the fact that you have given us an infallible word. And Father, straighten our thinking out as we examine what the scripture has to say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.